Mark chapter 4, verse 8. But other seed fell to the ground and produced fruit, sprouting up and increasing, and it grew 130-fold and 160 and 100 times what was sown. One of the reasons we as disciples of our Messiah do not grow and mature in our walk with him is because we expect the impossible to happen. We expect God to do a radical transformation of our lives and make all of our problems instantly go away. We live in an instant society. You know, you press the button and everything happens. So we expect God to do that. Adonai does indeed change us. And he can do so in the blink of an eye if you want him to. Or if he wants to. Yet he does not do this according to our design, but he does it according to his. If we had our way, we would enter into a relationship with the Lord, holding on to all of our previous experiences. I don't let go of any of that stuff. We would emerge on the other side of a dramatic transformation with all those experiences still intact. The only difference being that we would somehow be holier or less sinful from that point forward on. We would just resolve not to be as sinful. We'll just be less sinful. In reality, however, God does not change us and then have us pick up our lives from the moment we left off. We are supposed to die. And that's what it means when you're born again. It means you actually, before you're born again, you die. You can't be born again unless you die. And when you're born again, you got to start over. Isn't that true? The Jews who left Egypt, they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. I told you that 2 weeks ago. They kept undefiled for 7 days. They didn't eat any yeast or any leaven into their bodies. They eat unleavened bread. They arrived at the Red Sea for their baptism. Man, they immersed. And supposedly after that, they were born again. But were they? What were they to do? All they knew how to do was pound bricks, make straw. They arrived at Mount Sinai and God gave them his instructions, his Torah. This was to help them to learn how to live a new life. When we are born again, we have to live new lives. So what did they do with that? They threw it all away, didn't they? Only two of that generation made it into the promised land. So what is the process of being born again? Let me try and give you an example. We just had a baby we just named. Is it hard, Jim, to learn how to be a good father? Yeah? How did you deal with that change in your life? Don't answer. One of the nice things about becoming a father is that it happened one step at a time. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby and the carriage or something like that. First comes the engagement, right? Then sometime later, marriage. I'm doing that poem right over again. During this time, you talk about parenting, and that helps you prepare mentally for what's going to come. Then later, your wife says, guess what? We're pregnant. And then still, you still have 9 more months to wait before there's a child that's actually born. Of course, having a new baby is a big change in your life, isn't it? An inch of growth on that child may take a year or half a year, 6 months, okay? It can take several years to learn to speak a new language. How long, when do you think he's going to be talking or playing a musical instrument? Roger, you going to teach him guitar? Yeah, it's going to take a while. Two people can be married in a day, but the actual marriage of minds takes decades to accomplish. Changes in our spiritual life are also gradual. They take place one step at a time. And spiritual growth will be easier if we know that it does not take place in a moment. It is an ongoing process. Yeshua said in John 3:3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Many passages in the Bible indicate that being born again spiritually will be just as much a step-by-step process as physical conception, gestation, birth, growth, and development. For example, Peter describes it in seven distinct steps in 2 Peter 1:5. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Only by completing this process can we be sure to enter the kingdom of God. One reason why being born again must be a gradual process is that it involves a complete change of character. 2 Corinthians 5:5, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Rebirth involves new knowledge, new habits, new activities, new loves, and a new awareness of the Lord. Doesn't take place through a blind leap of faith, but through gradual education, study, and enlightenment. Yeshua said in John 15:3, if you continue in my word, the truth shall make you free. And in John 15:3 also, truth is the tool of change that means to a new life. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Instead of accepting dogmas without question, we must make sense of the truth in order to be reborn. Being childlike does not mean being childish in our beliefs. In malice, be children, but in understanding, be adults, according to 1 Corinthians 14:20. And in Matthew 12:23, Jesus describes a good person as one who hears the word, understands it, and also bears fruit. Most important of all is this understanding of God. If God's nature is a mystery to us, we can hardly say that we're born again or that we are his sons. Knowing God goes hand in hand with being born from him. The pure in heart shall see God, Matthew 5:8. When we are born again, God shines in our hearts, according to 2 Corinthians 4:6, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Yeshua, our Messiah. Anyone who is in the habit of doing or thinking evil things is living the old life and is incapable of genuine goodness of the person who has overcome them. Can a leopard change its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil, according to Jeremiah 13:23. He who commits sin is the servant of sin. Receiving new life requires fighting against old habits. Cast away from you all the transgressions, Ezekiel 18. You have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die? Turn and live. And wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, according to Isaiah 1:16. Put away the evil of your doing from my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. This kind of repentance cannot take place merely by praying for forgiveness. You can't just say, oh, please forgive me, God, I sinned, and blah, 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 and gee, I'm forgiven. Wow, new life. It requires a struggle. Did you see a struggle there? No, I didn't see one. A struggle, an ongoing battle to overcome the old ways of life. Paul calls this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. It is a battle that requires our greatest effort. According to Deuteronomy 6, you're supposed to do it with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Amen. Eventually, through constant effort, God gives us such power over our habits that we no longer would think of doing something evil. When this time finally comes, we can be called born again. 1 John 3:9, whoever is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. And so along with our new habits, we get new activities. A person who neglects to be useful cannot be born again and cannot go with Yeshua. Yeshua indicated that some of us would not be saved because we lacked good works. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? The Torah is the will of the Father. That's the only word he's ever written to us. Have you seen a sequel to that book? I haven't. He's not written a second novel. And this is not a novel, it's nonfiction. Gotcha, you were sleeping. In one of his parables, Yeshua told of some people who would go into everlasting punishment, but not because they lacked faith, but because they failed to help people who were in need. After death, the Lord renders unto everyone according to his deeds, according to Matthew 16, 27. So a person who is born again is concerned for others. He orients his life around the work he can do to help others. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, according to James, is dead. A person is justified by works, not by faith alone. To be born again, you must bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, Luke 3:8. Service and usefulness are marks of the new life. So even more than faith and more than works, the power that causes a person to be born again is love. Peter tells us that we are reborn by means of loving and for the purpose of loving others, according to 1 Peter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, being born again by the word of God. John also makes it very clear that only those who love others can receive new life. We know, according to 1 John 3:14, that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And everyone who is born of God and knows God, he who does not love does not know God, because God is love. There's nothing else to God but love. So we must take it upon ourselves to have faith, to fight the evil impulses that are within ourselves. We have to serve others and love others as if we wish to be born again. Yet in all these things, we need also to realize that it is the Lord who is working within us. You, Isaiah 26:12, you have also done all our works in us. And 1 Corinthians 12:6, there are many forms of work, but all of them in all people are the work of the same God. Can you do it by yourself? No. Are you doing it by yourself? No. Who's doing it? You're not even doing it at all. It's God working in you and through you and out to the world and using you as a vessel. What are you? You're just a jar of clay. Think in one of the Psalms, it says, I'm a worm poured out. I mean, what does a worm do? Nothing. I don't have no legs, no hands. Look like a piece of spaghetti laying on the ground. I mean, what much can a worm get done in a day? Go from here to here, maybe on his own. But I'll bet even God has to move that worm. In order to be reborn, we must renew our knowledge, our habits, our actions, our loves, and relationships with the Lord. All this takes time. Can't do it in a day. It could even take a lifetime. Just as childbirth and growth require patience and endurance. You don't want to buy him a car tomorrow, do you? No. So does being born again. I think you should wait at least 16 or more years. 18. Well, you got a couple ahead, don't you? In your patience, you will possess your souls. Whoever endures to the end shall be saved. God will give eternal life to those who seek it by patient continuance and doing good. So we cannot expect to be born again in a single moment. It's not going to happen instantly. Don't push your remote. Born again, push the button. Ain't going to work. Again and again, the Bible advises steadfastness and endurance if we wish to gain the promise of the kingdom. It is good. Lamentations 3:26-27 says, it is good that one should take hope that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For although it takes time, if we do our part, the Lord will certainly make it happen. Psalm 37, 5 and 7, commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So all of us want to be the seed that falls into rich soil and produces grain. Y'all don't want to lay down in the concrete, do you? Nah. But we want it now. I don't want to wait. Patience, I need it now. We want to go from little seeds that have had no nurturing or sustenance to suddenly and miraculously becoming mature and fully functioning believers. Hey, look at me. I got saved yesterday and now I'm up here preaching. No, doesn't work that way. But in God's economy, the seed needs to sit in the ground for a while. When you plant your garden, next month maybe, how long is that seed going to sit? You're not going to have instant tomatoes. Not going to happen. The seed, where was I? The seed sits in the ground for a while, growing and maturing as it hides beneath the surface. And if the rabbits don't get it, then one day it emerges, not as a mature stalk, but as a tiny little fragile spot, sprout. Yeah. Remember when Grandma came over to visit us and she saw a garden and she said, you know, I weeded your garden. She pulled out all those tiny little sprouts. She said, those were weeds. Those were our plants. We didn't get nothing that year. That was your mother. Then one day it emerges, not as a mature stalk, but as a tiny, fragile sprout, which your mother pulled out. Over an extended period of time, that sprout grows. And only when it reaches full maturity does it yield a harvest. That actually happened. It is not by coincidence or convenience that our maturing process can be likened to a crop on its agricultural schedule. Like the crops, we cannot rush things along by artificial means. We must yield ourselves completely and allow Adonai to mature us in his timing. His timing. When we grow to maturity, we will bring forth our fruit and yield a crop beyond our expectations, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100 times fold what was sown. Imagine that. Let's pray, Adonai, I yield myself fully to you. Remove from my heart any agendas or ideas that I can move you along in my maturing process. I joyfully resign myself to your masterful ways and I await the nurturing of your gardener's hand. I praise you, Abba, for planting deep inside me the desire to live for you. I bless your name for you have plans to grow in me 30, 60, even 100 times what I could have ever sown alone. In Yeshua's name, Amen.